Welcome to The Workplace, a podcast by Cal Chamber. I'm Erica Frank, Cal Chamber's Executive Vice President and General Counsel. And with me again on the podcast today is Jennifer Shaw from the Shaw Law Group. Hey, Jen, how's it going?
I'm good, Erica. How are you?
I'm doing well. I wanted to talk to you about California's supplemental sick leave law that Governor Newsom recently announced through another executive order.
Yes. So a lot of our, quote, smaller employers have been saying, well, wait a minute, why do we have to do all this stuff? Why don't the larger employers have to do something? Well, they got their wish because now we have supplemental sick leave for larger employers. So that 500 number, now more than 500, they're going to have to do some sick leave for their employees in particular sectors.
Right. So it's not all employers that are above 500, it's only those that are in the food sector industry, correct?
Yeah, and it's interesting because food sectors are pretty broad, right? So we're talking about, do you grow food? Do you harvest food? Do you deliver food? Do you sell food? Do you process food? It's very, very broad. So wage order 8, wage order 13, wage order 14, wage order 7, wage order 5. I mean, there's a lot, there will be a lot of employers who are going to be covered by this new law or this new order.
Okay, so certain employers are covered then, like you just talked about. What about the employees? Same thing?
Same thing, although gig economy workers are also going to be covered.
Yeah, so I found that really fascinating. I think they were recognizing that the gig economy, the drivers, are really making sure that we get the food that we're ordering.
Well, and I got to tell you, because this is relatively new, it's a little bit interesting to me because they make clear that the people you're paying the benefit to don't necessarily have to be your employee, which is where we get into this gig worker. So what does that mean? That the restaurant who has the Uber driver, the Uber Eats driver who delivers the food is supposed to provide the supplemental sick leave? I don't think so, but it's not really clear in practical terms how this is going to work.
Yeah, no, I think that like with a lot of the stuff that we've been seeing recently, I think that's going to be the case as well. So let's talk about a little bit or come through the details of the supplemental sick leave. So we know that it's only certain employers, certain employees, generally speaking, in the food sector industries as defined under the wage orders, under the executive order. Yep. How does an employee qualify for the supplemental sick leave?
So basically, they're part of their own quarantine, for example, not just the general shelter in place, but something like, okay, this group of people just came back from Italy, so county health department's going to put them on quarantine. Or the healthcare provider, the employee's healthcare provider says, look, you, because of your medical condition, you need to be quarantined, or you live with someone who is very susceptible, so we want to quarantine you on that level, right? And then there's this sort of catch-all category, if you will, that's, well, is somebody just need to take time off because of COVID-19? It's much more broad, and just like where we were with the Coronavirus Response Act 3 weeks ago, we're going to need some additional guidance. The DLSC is going to issue their poster on April 23rd, my birthday, so I'm very excited. We're going to get the poster for my birthday, and we're going to be getting some more guidance. Right now, the DLSC's supposed FAQs, they call them, are not really FAQs. They're not that helpful. And I don't mean to criticize the DLSC. It's just that it basically repeats what's already in the order. We need something like what the DOL has done with, HR 6201 and Families First to really spell out the tough questions. For example, what do you do if your employee was already on leave? Are right. they now subject or entitled to these benefits? It's going to depend, right? So it's going to be interesting on, how this leave is actually going to be paid out and how it's going to be used.
So with regards to leave, we haven't touched upon what's the maximum amount of time or hours that an employee may use for the supplemental sick leave.
So not surprisingly, it's 80 hours because Governor Newsom built this on Families First, on the federal program, right? Mm-hmm. It's 80 hours for a full-time employee, and it's going to be prorated for part-time, you have to go back and look at the hours they've worked over 6 months. Again, very similar to what they're doing with Families First. But it is going to be 80 hours at their regular rate. Now, different than Family First, you're going to calculate the regular rate based on the prior pay period.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that is a little bit different.
It's going to be different. Yep.
Yeah. So something for employers to keep an eye out for. Although, wait, hold on. I'm just correcting myself. No, because this is applicable to those employers that don't have to, that aren't under the Families First.
Well, right. Except many of those large employers have been reading about what's going on.
Got it.
So unfortunately, I think some of the calls I've had today are from clients who have had that thought in their head and they're like, oh, okay, well, so wait a minute, how's this going to work? Do I still go back with the 6 months? No, your regular rate is in the prior pay period.
Okay, good distinction, and thanks for that, Safe. Okay, so let's talk. You mentioned, Jennifer, about April 23rd not only being a special day for you, but also the day that the Labor Commissioner is going to issue a model notice. So, like Families First, there's a new notice requirement, I take.
Yes, and like Families First, or I should say unlike Families First, I hope there's not an error in the first version of the notice. Because, of course, there was for the federal law, and that created all kinds of drama for these poor employers that have been trying to comply. So the DLSC is going to issue the poster on the 23rd, or the notice. We're really hoping that it's going to give some more guidance. We're hoping to get more input from the government. Because here's the thing, Erica. We don't want this to be a gotcha 9 months from now. Where plaintiff's lawyers are saying, oh, you didn't do X, you didn't do Y. Well, okay, how was I supposed to know that? I'm in the middle of sheltering in place. So, you know, we're hoping that we're going to get some more guidance here. I think most employers just want to do the right thing. And, you know, I've had a couple of calls with some of our clients who are going to be required to give this notice and this leave. And they're very happy to do it. They just want to understand the ABCs of it.
And I think that's really important what you mentioned about we don't want to have a gotcha, because based on the executive order, some of the requirements such as the notice piggybacks on existing notice under California's Healthy Families, Healthy Workplace Act. So as we know, there's a lot of protections and there's a lot of requirements that employers have to follow. And it'll be nice to know, or a little bit of guidance, like you said, as far as whether everything under the Healthy Families is going to apply now to the supplemental, or are there going to be some carve-outs and exceptions?
One thing that is clear that I've had a lot of questions about today, so it's worth saying, you're not going to be able to ask the employee for written documentation, just like with California's Healthy Family Sick Leave, right?
Yes.
This executive order even makes clear that it can be a verbal request.
Yes.
So I have clients calling, well, what if they just are turning into a two-week vacation? You're not going to have a lot of leeway. Same reason we tell folks, look, think about whether you want to put all your accrued time in a PTO plan, because that's going to arguably make your entire PTO plan subject to all the California sick leave rules.
Well, and let's just build upon that. You're absolutely correct. What about requiring the employee to use their existing sick leave first instead of the supplemental? Does that fly?
Nope. Doesn't fly. They get to save it.
Okay, so they get to save the Healthy Families, Healthy Workplace, which is the existing mandatory. They get to decide to use the supplemental, which of course is now paid, which is different from the traditional sick leave, which is paid, but here the calculation's just a little bit different.
That's right. The calculations are going to be different. So it's going to be very interesting. And, you know, I feel sorry, frankly, for employers and employees, because I think employers are trying to get this stuff right, but they don't exactly know what to do. Some employees are feeling desperate. Like, look, if I could get 80 hours of wages, give it to me. I need it. Totally understandable, especially in the food sector. You know, we're talking about people who often are working for tips.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
For these people, you know, they need the benefit. And, you know, many of them have been laid off and they're getting the new federal, you know, higher $600 of the unemployment insurance supplement, in addition to the California UI benefit. But some of them aren't hanging on, right? You know, if you do takeout, someone's working in takeout. So it's really tough, I guess, for employers to be able to take a step back and think about, how am I going to implement this? And I'm just telling employers, look, try to keep it simple, exercise good faith, be transparent. If you don't know the answer, tell them, look, right now, we don't know the answer. I'm working on it.
Okay, and one other answer, which we may not have as it relates to distributing or providing the supplemental sick leave, is the information on the pay stub, which we know is a requirement of the Healthy Families. What are you suggesting to employers on that aspect?
I think they need to put it on there. I've said the same thing about the family's first leave, mm-hmm. because you don't want to show it as wages, or I think you arguably violate Labor Code Section 226 because it wasn't an hour's worked.
Right.
So I think just the way you show your vacation and your sick leave usage, you're probably going to have to show this. And I think if you don't, we're going to see some PAGA claims on wage statements.
Okay. All right, so not exactly the most upbeat way to end when we talk about PAGA claims.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. You know, unfortunately, it's the reality, and that is sort of what we've been talking about throughout in some of the obstacles that employers have had to face throughout the COVID-19 situation, is we do have existing labor and employment laws that have a lot of gotchas on it, and unfortunately, there is no one-size-fits-all with what's been happening in the world, and to your point, employers need to do their best faith, do what they can, put their best foot forward, be as transparent as possible, and hope for the best with some of this.
That's right. And you know, one of the things I tell all of our clients, look, just think about what is the right thing to do, right? Let's try to do the best we can. We're in such a crazy time. Nobody's going to get it all right. And I do think, and maybe this is my optimism, you mentioned being optimistic in another podcast, maybe I'm being too optimistic, but I think the courts, the DLSC, the DFEH, I think we're going to get a little grace from them when mm-hmm. they realize that employers have really been trying to do everything they possibly can.
I like it. And I like the word grace. I know that you've used that terminology as well in the past. And I think it's so fitting right now with this time that we're going through. Well, Jennifer, thank you so much again for being back here on the podcast. We really appreciate your continued support and availability.
I love being here. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you all for listening to today's episode of The Workplace. Please comment, share, or subscribe by visiting calchamber.com.